Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Well, it's time for another edition of the Bendis Tapes. When we last spoke to Brian Bendis in July, it was a week before the San Diego Comic-Con. Needless to say, there have been a few headlines since, and we discussed them with Brian, along with taking a look at the current status quo of Ultimate Spider-Man, New and Dark Avengers, The List, and yes, we discussed the Disney-Marvel deal and the changes at DC and Time Warner. Now, in this episode of the Bendis Tapes, it's just going to be me and Brian talking about the news of the day. We'll get to the questions in part two, but in part one, it's strictly news and what's going on in Brian's books and also the Spider-Woman motion comic, which has debuted. In fact, we talk about the comparison of the issue, which just came out yesterday, and the motion comics, which are already on chapter three. Before we get started, a couple quick notes. This was recorded the day after the Windy City Comic-Con, and thanks to everyone who came out and said hello. It was a great event. I hosted two panels. Haven't heard yet how the audio came out. Hopefully those will be presented as future Word Balloon episodes. And things look good for the Word Balloon Book Club. I think we're about ready to announce the title, Outlaw Territory, the Western Anthology from Image Comics. If you have Outlaw Territory, that's great. You're ready to go for our book club. If not, I just want to confirm with In Stock Trades, one of our sponsors, that you'll be able to purchase the book at a reduced rate and just get the price from them and the fact that they've got enough in stock to accommodate our first Word Balloon book club. But look for it either, I'm going to say at the beginning of November, we're going to do our first episode. I want to give everybody a chance to pick up the book and read it. So say 6 weeks from now or so, you'll be hearing the Word Balloon book club and our first edition on Outlaw Territory, the Image Western Anthology. More on that on the episodes ahead, and we'll give you details on how you can pick that up at a reduced rate. But for now, enjoy the Bendis Tapes Part 1 right here on Word Balloon. All right, welcome back after a long hiatus. It's the Bendis Tapes. John Suntress here the day after Windy City Comic Con, so I'm at my Tony Bennett level of voice. Hey, it's great to talk to Brian Bendis. Let me tell you, it's just great.
Should we rewind and relive the last 25 minutes that it took you to find the Q&A thread on the board?
I don't see it. Are you sure it's there?
Search? You search? What am I searching? Do I type in words?
I know. Anyway. Senility settles in, obviously, in our 40s sometimes.
It's like buying your grandmother a cell phone talking to you.
So, nice summer?
A wonderful summer.
The last time we spoke was San Diego Comic-Con time.
Yeah.
And a lot of things have been announced since then.
What?
Things. And it's so funny that you go back and, like, remember literally the week after we spoke, the big news was that Marvel got the rights to Marvel Man.
Yeah, that was cool.
Any quick thoughts on Marvel Man, which I'm sure won't be reflected in this question and answer?
We have an Avengers retreat in nearly 3.5 weeks' time, and I hear it is on the agenda to discuss. Not that he'll be an Avenger or anything, but me and a few other writers will be there, and I believe the conversation will be had on some level.
Interesting.
But we'll see. I'm kind of keeping my open. I'm open to hearing what the plan is, and I'm, you know, I don't have like a pitch for Marvel Man. So
okay. Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
And everyone is wondering how the existence of Marvel Man, you know, affects the Sentry, whether he's even in the same universe or not.
My plans for the Sentry?
Yes.
I'm glad. That's a very good question. My plans for the Sentry are unchanged because of Marvel Man's appearance. I had a plan for the Sentry. I am months and months ahead of what you see as the conflict you're holding in your hand, and sometimes even months ahead of that. So the plan was locked for the Sentry, so that is unchanged.
Okay, and I also
it's so funny. Someone I read an issue of Avengers that just came out and asked me if I did that because of Disney, and I'm like, Disney happened 4 days ago. This book has been in production for like a year. Some people don't get that.
What specific moment?
I don't remember honestly. Somebody just said something like they I can't remember. It was something in Dark Avengers where they, you know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was Ares thinking out loud in a fatherly way, you know, and people go, oh, you just did that because of Disney. I'm like, what?
What does that have to do with Disney?
This is a question that many writers have been asking for centuries. At what level is the reader's reading comprehension not your problem? This is, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You want to be as comprehensive and as you know, as known and as you know, you want to be all things to everybody, but you know, see, people just don't know how to read.
Okay.
this is an issue, you know. I see people online arguing with each other. They're talking to the wall. I'm like, you're talking to the wall. You meet people in the world. You're talking to them and go, I'm talking to a crazy person. What are you going to do? And by the way, if you think I'm talking about you right now, if you're listening to this, you think I might be talking about you, you really have to look into yourself. Because I'm not talking about you. And if for a second that even in your head might describe you or makes you defensive that I might be talking about you, that's on you, buddy. So I had a whole conversation with myself just then.
That was very good. The Sentry might have started around this in the same realm as Miracle Man. I think there are two different paths here, as well as for that
character. No, they're blonde, and there's metafiction based on the superhero mythos. There's a lot. I mean, I've studied both pretty comprehensive. They're very different. I could see where there would be a similarity, and I'm sure that even Paul will tip his hat to Miracle Man as an influence, but as many, 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 many comic books should have to. But there's many. I mean, the Sentry is completely different in my mind. Like in my head, the Sentry's voice is like, "Hey, what's going on?" And the Marvel Man's voice is, "Hello." That's the difference, right there.
Really, Eric Idle plays Marvel Man.
Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
Oh, the chimney sweep.
I was trying to do a reference you would get.
Thank you keeping it in the mid-60s. Why do you think I'm happy that both Parker and Azzarello's books, Filthy Rich, early 60s? Welcome home, son. Turn the hi-fi on and enjoy some Stan Kenton music. All right, well, do you want to...
Look back, Rack, I would have got the reference, but okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Should we acknowledge the rest of the news as well and talk about Disney Marvel?
Whatever you want to talk about, man.
Well, I mean...
It's your podcast.
That's true. Well, but I know people are waiting.
I don't have anything to say about... the Disney thing that I didn't say online. There's no new news. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a done deal.
It
looks like it is a done deal, but you know, it's not official. You know,
right. Not official till the end of the year.
And everything that I hear from the insiders is very much along the lines of what you're hearing publicly. You know, Bob Iger showed up at Marvel, looked everybody right in the eye, and said, "Go do your job. We're going to treat you like Pixar. We didn't touch Pixar. We're not touching you." And that is the right thing to say, as far as I'm concerned.
Cool.
A good manager lets everybody do their job and let Joe and Dan do their job. And it's not broken, don't fix it, and that's it. So everyone I know, it seems that... think that is absolutely positively the way it's going to be, and that's awesome.
Well, I know how you felt about, I forget who put Howard the Duck in Secret Invasion. Who put? And I know how you felt about that, so I think we're okay that Goofy...
No, I like Donald Duck. I don't like Howard the Duck.
Wow.
Very duck specific.
Interesting.
No, this is the thoughts that went in my mind. This is as honest can be. I saw the news. I went... It's always nice to know your checks will clear. That's all. You know what I mean? Listen, it's
sure.
It's print media. I have a lot of friends in print media. Don't know if that's true or not. It's nice to know my checks will clear.
Yes.
Oh, good. Maybe I don't have to wait in line at the Indiana Jones ride next year. These are the thoughts I had. And good. Another uncomfortable conversation with my mother where she asks me questions that makes me believe she's never understood what I do for a living.
Nice.
And all of those things are true.
Very cool.
My mom is great. She calls. So do you have to move to Disney? You know, these are
literally on the park? Do you have to live in
Heritage,
USA?
Yeah, I have to live in the park. You have to do caricatures in front of the teacups.
And any you know, okay, across the street they made a big reorganization move over there. Any thoughts on that as a fan?
Well, I'm a fan with no insider information, and these are very interesting times.
Yes.
I'm very excited to see what happens, and everyone thinks something's going to happen the next week. That is not how it works. Months from now, nay, a year from now, whatever changes will come, and we'll see how they lay out. We'll see what happens.
What do you think of the possibility of the Diamond distribution
kind of question.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Okay. I don't know. I mean, that's the big wazoo for the year is what will digital distribution do? How fast will it erode? How fast will it find its levels between digital and print?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Spider-Woman took off. I mean, I didn't know what it was going to do. I mean, you're just throwing stuff out in the wind and go, oh, hope this works. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So, but the response was so big that you go, oh, boy, what's going to happen to print media? I love print media. I want to make books. So that's the big one. We'll see. That's another talk to me next year for 2010. It's arguable that last week or whenever it happened, everybody won.
I kind of feel that way about both announcements.
Yeah,
that's what
do
I mean.
Too. Not to sound like, you know, like a wide-eyed, you know, cornpoke naive boy, but you can't help but go, well, it looks like everything's safe and everyone, you know, as long as the guys who want to make money are making money, I think we're good to go.
Or further, we're at the start of the sea change. We don't know what the end result will be, and this is part of the whole big media scene. Everything is shifting, and it's, you know, now comics get to feel it the way that a lot of old media has been feeling it as well.
I will say this. This is what I learned from it, and I did Twitter about this too, but it's important to maybe see if there are more than 140 characters. When something like the Marvel-Disney thing happens and you think of jokes that are about the Disney-Marvel buyout, you have, from the moment it happened, you have maybe 10 hours tops to get a good joke in. As the week went on and people were writing their jokes, you do realize that you were just annoying the shit out of me, out of Joe, out of anybody that you're trying to get their attention with your joke. Comedy is timing. You've probably heard this.
I have.
Said before. And if it took you 4 days to come up with Finding Namor, then you don't get timing. And it's not that it's okay to think it, but you should know time has passed. I will now make a joke about something else. So if I can impart any wisdom to you, as someone who makes a living in the creative field, 10 hours tops. It really 5 hours, totally. I mean, I literally woke up that afternoon and it had been announced, and like many hours had passed, and
yes.
I threw my jokes in, but I was writing them so fast because I realized I had about 40 minutes to go. You know.
Sure.
And if I literally had not checked my internet before I went to get my kids, I would have been that shit out of luck. But now it's too bad.
Now transition into Spider-Woman. You mentioned it, and let's talk about the difference of the comic, which by the time this is released will be out, and
yeah.
and the first three digital episodes. And I was interested to notice that first that the comic goes up to episode one.
Well, you read the first issue. You should tell people.
Yes.
You were holding in your hands. You went behind my back and got a copy of Spider-Woman number one from Marvel Comics, and they were nice enough to give you a PDF, as they're called in the business. So you've read both. So I'm interested.
Yes.
Yeah, you have more to say about this. I will say here's my thoughts. Number one, just having something on iTunes was a real kick. That was cool. Having it actually list in the bestsellers and a couple of charts was cool, and I didn't. It's funny, every time I venture out of the medium that I work in, I forget that. Like, it doesn't occur to me that it would be reviewed by people. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I remember like when the Spider-Man cartoon was out, and there was a review for him in Entertainment Weekly, and thank God it was a good review because it didn't even dawn on me that someone might review it. It was weird. It's just like it's not a comic book, so they won't talk about it or something. And then I open it up, and there's a review, and you shit your pants because you're like, oh, my God, you know. And so the same thing happened with iTunes, where not only did some mainstream media pick it up and review it, and thankfully we're nice, but you forget about the reader reviews and the critiques and the judging and the stars. And it didn't occur to me, even though I use iTunes, it didn't occur to me that this would happen to Spider-Woman. So by the time I woke up that day, there were literally hundreds of reviews typed. And it literally is like it's like you a message board you would not go to. I forgot was there, and I looked at it. Now, thankfully, again, people were unbelievably nice and had their eyes wide open and were just into the journey of the new, right? So it's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
The only review that I remember from looking at this was the guy who wrote, "I can't get this to play. Boo Marvel, 1 star. I was like, yeah, that's the kind of constructive criticism I can really sit with and learn from and make a better me out of. It was hilarious.
Hey, man, are you kidding?
I can't get it to play. You suck.
Hey, I've been living with 4 years now of iTunes reviews, so I know how it feels. Don't worry about it.
But so you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
You go on iTunes to check something, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. No, yeah, I hear you.
But I do. I can't. Oh, it's such a relief. You know, thanks for trying it. A lot of people just jumped right on and got the subscriptions, and were very, very vocal in their support, and that was very, very cool. And hopefully we'll get to make more if it all works out. And I know that just some people, even people who listen to this, very, very annoyed about that it's not on iTunes UK or something.
Oh.
I'm getting a lot of lip about this. I have zero to do with this. That's like asking me who makes your staples. I don't know. There's a level, I try to be as involved as possible. These are business decisions and contracts that I have zero to do with. If you want more information about when and where Spider-Woman will show up next, there's a Spider-Woman Motion Comics thread on my board where Ruwan, who is the producer of the Spider-Woman, is on there answering questions as he gets more information. But every iTunes country or zone or however it works out has their own rules and their own way they do things, and America got done first, and it's not like it's not being made available to you. It's not being held back from you. It's just, we can only show it after the contracts are signed. It's the way it's been explained to me. Everyone at Marvel and everyone involved wants you to have this. We're not holding it back from you as some clever ploy to piss you off. Believe me, we didn't make, Marvel didn't make this for their health. They want it to be profitable. They want it to be out there. So as soon as it can, it will be.
Okay. The content.
But boy, I got a lot of lip about this. And I'm thrilled you guys want to see it. And I'm sorry you're probably going to see the print comic first. But I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know who's not signed to the paperwork. But I know it's not Marvel.
Well, the print comic is the same length as the first episode. And is that how it's playing out?
No, it doesn't play out. There is each episode has in the first episode there was a couple sections where there was material that was appropriate for print but not for the motion comic.
Okay.
And vice versa. So
interesting.
They're two different animals, and we're having a lot of fun discovering what those animals are as we go. But so we took the material that was produced as a motion comic, and some of it involved, we look at the scene and go, we don't need it in the motion comic, but as a piece of literature, it's lovely. Like the opening scene in the comic book is one, it's different than how it plays out in the,
absolutely,
in the motion comic. And we also, take some time and rewind the clock and Spider-Woman going over, the points of her origin that are haunting her the most. We didn't really need that for the motion comic. And again, it's the difference between something that's in motion and something that's, more literate and more inside someone's mind. So those are two examples where I went, it's funny, because when you cut something out of the motion comic, you think, well, maybe I just don't need it at all. Maybe just cut it totally. And then I'm looking at it as the print, and I go, no, there's a different feeling here. This works here and it doesn't work there, so...
Well,
so I'll be interested in the debate as it goes. If I know people were thrilled with Jessica's voice, annoyed with Jessica's voice. You always get everyone has that voice in their head, particularly with a character who you don't get to hear her speak a lot. Like in Spider-Man, you've heard it in cartoons since almost he was created. So there's always there's kind of a template for what you think Peter Parker sounds like. But a character like Jessica Drew, you might not. So even when people say, she's British, I'm like, yeah, Google it, you dick. I know what I'm doing. I hear a lot of people yelling at me, what the fuck, she's British? I go, she's vaguely British, a little British.
Now, I've heard the same things. I heard the same complaints, and I laughed about it too.
It's funny.
Well, here's a different scene that played, interesting to compare in the digital comic and in the comic book. Just her on the boat
going to, how do you say the Asian country she goes to?
Madhapur.
Madhapur, thank you. To me, in the motion comic, it reminded me of Enter the Dragon, when you see him on the little Chinese clipper that he's taking in Hong Kong. And in the comic book, didn't play like that at all. Just was a scene.
Well, the note to Alex in the script and in the many talks we had about what the piece should look like, and now that I have Alex coloring himself, which, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, will always happen. Alex should be the only person that colors Alex.
It looked great. It really, honestly,
yeah, he
it looked
amazing.
Fantastic.
No, but he's been coloring his covers for years, and I'm sitting there, color it yourself, and then he colored the first half of The Confession himself.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, are we done arguing about this? I mean, he's worked with the greatest colorist in the world, and I'm not, but it's like when George Perez inks himself, it's 50,000 times better. It's just better. And so with this, we get to talk about color, and I brought up the work of Wong Kar-wai, the director who uses colors as boldly as any director has ever used them. And Vila Zsigmond, whose work you should follow, he did some amazing movies where color was a signature. So when we get to Madhapur and everything's blues and purples, and it's very much like a Wong Kar-wai movie, and I was thrilled when I saw it. I mean, thrilled.
That's cool. And I was even talking about the actual movement of the boat. Just kind of felt like this movement. That's what I like in general, because things have evolved from where flash animation was, obviously, 10 years ago. And you're using the same kind of limited animation tricks that anime uses, pushing the camera in, panning shots. And
well, you know what I want is I want subtle. I want, these 3D movies that are coming out lately, like we just saw Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs. And there's always that thrill when your kid tries to touch the screen like we did when we were kids, because it feels like the words are floating in front of their head,
Sure.
But when in the movie Up or Cloudy, there's so much use of 3D in a subtle, scrumptious way that is so exciting. And I think the motion comics on their best are when you forget if you forget things are moving, it doesn't even occur to you, But at the same time, it's not animation. So those are my favorite moments of the motion comics so far.
Something else I like too is when Jessica uses her iPhone spy device, that looks like an iPhone, but obviously does a lot more. It just obviously does work better in the motion comic. Not that it works badly in the comic book, but it's just it's just this freeze frame of a static item. Whereas it's alive in the motion comic, and you get that kind of Hitchhiker's Guide feel to it that I think we all want to see, and I'll be curious to watch it on my Storm. I don't know if my iTunes stuff will play on my Storm.
I don't know anything about BlackBerry.
I've never tried it. But
you know what? I know you should throw out your BlackBerry and get an iPhone.
I will next year. I don't want AT&T.
And by the way, I'm not being paid by iPhone. I love my iPhone, and I know people thought that we threw an iPhone plug in there for product placement. And it was written before I knew where the hell Spider-Man was going to show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, honestly, one of the reasons why I went with BlackBerry is I just know that there's a significant amount of them out there, and I know how a word balloon plays on the iPhone. I want to see how it plays on the BlackBerry, and I can kind of compare both with the people I know that have iPhones and stuff. So, yeah, I mean,
all about you.
Truly.
Right there.
Well, hey, man. How about how about Tom DeFalco saying the next person at DC better have an iPhone, better have a Kindle? And I thought that was pretty cool of Tom DeFalco to say that. I mean, it's true, cool. But, it's like, he kind of gets where everything's going to.
Yep. No, it's going to be that Apple the size of the iPhone, the size of a plate or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
That's going to be it. That's the game changer.
No, and
I will buy one the day comes out.
The other thing, too, that I noticed, because in the comic book it's a double page, that flashback point where Jessica is kind of reflecting, it is in both. But it does, obviously, again, it plays through like animation would on the motion comic, and instead we get this double spread page in the comic book and stuff. So,
well, what I like about what you're saying is really people should buy both the motion comic and the print comic. I think, is what we've learned from your completely unbiased outsider's analysis of the thing. No, I agree with you, and I've studied these differences a great deal as we're just finishing up the fifth episode, which will be shipping on time, I'm happy to say.
Okay.
And then it's the first story arc. And you, I do think that every episode gets better as we go, because, you know, we look at the print and we look at the motion and we say, well, that worked and that didn't work, and let's think about that, you know.
Well, then how will the story break issue by issue versus the motion comics? Because as I said...
Some, you know, fight scenes might be more elaborate in the motion comics to take up more pages. So I'm leaving it up to Alex a little bit.
Okay.
I think there will be more issues to the five episodes, excuse me, than you might think. So
there might be more hard issues as opposed to more motion.
No, there might be an image that's a double page spread that's like 1 second in the motion comic.
Oh no, I understand that. I'm saying
that it's, so I think there'd be more comics for the five episodes than there will be five.
Okay, so there'll be more.
It'll be more than one per issue.
Okay, more than one motion episode per issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Or less.
Well, really, because honestly,
it's not episode per issue at all.
Oh no, and I understand that. And the only thing I want to point out is that as of the release of issue one, there are two additional motion comic issues that are out, or episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then four is on its way, and five is literally at the tail end.
Okay,
we're doing polishes.
Well, how many? You don't know how many issues the story arc will be in issue form, in magazine form?
No, we're not there yet. It's not,
okay.
You know, the two just got put together, so you know, they're usually a month ahead of production.
And then, how are you writing the script first for which animals? You know, I mean, that's what I mean.
No, I'm writing it for the motion comic first as a whole. But what inside the script for the motion comic, I will note, in my opinion, this is a double page spread, what have you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I make notes to where I think the comic should be, and then I allow Alex the latitude he needs to tell the story in print the way he thinks he needs to. Then I go back in and I completely rescript if needed or in areas that need it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to...
And it's different. Usually we do it a different way. This is a different thing, and I was pleased with the results. And we're out of our safety net. We've been making comics a long time, so jumping out of the safety net is kind of a fun thing to do.
Well, and speaking of jumping out of a safety net, there's a scene in the third episode, I believe, or the second, of the motion comic where Jessica is falling, and there's a neat audio moment where... You know, as thoughts race through her head because she thinks she might be about to die, you know, you get overlapping dialogue as all these thoughts are rushing through her head. And I'll be curious to see how that's handled in the comic book.
We cut that out.
Did you?
Yeah, she just dies.
Okay.
Thanks for blowing it. Yeah, there's a few areas in the motion comic that are like that I think the way the story is represented. Will be interesting for us scholars of the medium.
And Madame Hydra had an interesting dimension to her character, I think, from the motion comic compared to what.
That voice is one that we got a lot of argument internally. I love her voice.
I do too.
And some people didn't like her voice, so it was a pretty funny argument. Like because she sounds like Edna Mole. I'm like, yeah, good. She's crazy.
I was trying to think of some contemporary actress that...
It's Edna Mole or it's like Natasha from Boris and Natasha.
Well, no, and
Jessica.
And I'm like...
You get boosts and scores.
Yeah, maybe because I've seen it lately a few times, but they've been running the Sean Connery Never Say Never Again. I'm like, is it Barbara Carrera or whatever the hell her name was?
That, man. Have you turned on your TV since 1984?
I understand they're flat now. I hear they're flat.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You're that one guy who has not converted your digital to analog.
Yeah, I'll be damned if I'm going to pay for TV.
I won't do it. I won't do it, God damn it.
It's not true.
When I was a kid, we had analog and bunny ears, and we loved it.
That's not true. Dark Avengers, great issue out. Ares versus Nick Fury and really all of the Secret Warriors. That was kind of cool.
Thanks, man. Mike Deodato.
Awesome cover. Sick cover. Great colors. I forget who his colorist was on the...
Rain.
Thank you.
And Ten is even better. Ten is in the can, and it is. I honestly think the best issue he's ever put to print.
No, I really like it.
He's having a blast.
Very cool. And the dark, the list finally comes up for New Avengers, and then the ball starts rolling. So
yes.
Now it can be told.
Yes.
Norman can cross Hawkeye off.
You know what I love about the reaction to the list?
Tell me.
Three hate letters from editor Ralph Macchio.
From
very, very upset with me about Hawkeye / Ronin.
because he seems to be your favorite punching bag?
No, I thought he kicked ass. He took out the whole...
Oh, he was mad at his actions. Okay, fine.
He was mad that he went in there to kill somebody. And I said, yeah, that's it. I would like to have that conversation. Yes, I would like to hear what you have to say about it.
Have you had that conversation?
With him?
Yes.
No, he's just mad at me. But
what did Brevoort think?
Brevoort liked it. No, Brevoort gets what I'm trying to do. You have to ask the question. You have to put the hero in the position. You have to have the argument. Half of them have to agree. And I did a little House of M too, where there's a big question here, and it has to be talked about. And to illustrate that point, one of them has to go do this thing. You know, and the point was that not everyone's Peter Parker could take it on the chin 24 hours a day. You know, Clint can't. And there is, I will argue, evidence in his character and the side of the tracks that he used to live on that says he can't take this much shit. You know?
Yes.
And so this is what this story is about.
And I also think consistent sometimes in big Avenger moments, he is the guy that shoots first and asks questions later and goes with his
gut.
Yes,
and I can show you any Jim Shooter issue, I can show you examples of this. There's many, many examples.
There's a moment in
Captain Criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kree-Skrull War moment that Brubaker has in Reborn, the latest issue.
Very good art in that issue, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Gorgeous. Absolutely. Geis and Hitch, very good team. And Paul Mounts doing beautiful coloring on that. No, it's a great, great thing. I saw Paul Mounts at the Windy City Con just yesterday. It was fantastic.
Are you being paid by the Windy City Con mention?
Yeah, per drop. Exactly. Chris Neesman gives me 5 cents every time I drop it.
At the Windy City Con, available on stores.
That's right. And next year, it's not that far away, folks. Only 12 short butts. Wow. You see what Garrett Sheamus could have gotten if he had hired me? Anyway. The teaser cover we just got for December's, is that the Dark Avenger image that we got of Doom and the Iron Patriot fighting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that announcement, I can't talk much about it, but very soon, the day after the Baltimore Con, there's a Diamond Retailer Summit, and there will be an announcement. A giant, gargantuan, huge announcement that will rattle this podcast. It will rattle it.
Interesting.
Your BlackBerry will spark and inflame.
All right, so now I'm at the Zapruder film moment. So here we go. We've got Doom and the Iron Patriot locked in battle. Good fighting right there. Nice going, Finch. It's a gorgeous image. And in the background, we see Loki. Hey, he's a dude.
Hey.
Taskmaster? Is that Taskmaster in the back?
I think it's a Taskmaster-like person.
Excellent. And
it's either that or the bad guy from Scream.
And I see Loki and the Hood casting spells.
Oh, boy.
All right. Excellent.
Well, again, there's not much I can say that wouldn't spoil upcoming events in not only my book but other people's books, hence Loki and other things. But stay tuned, true believer, as the man says. Hey, I have a question. How much fun did you have talking to Patton Oswalt?
I did have a lot of fun, Brian Bendis. Thank you for asking.
No, honestly, I
really did. No, it was really fun. Big Fan looks incredibly cool. The scenes that I've seen from it are excellent. And as someone who, you know, produced and hosted sports talk radio for 15 years, I can definitely attest to that character that Oswald plays. And the guy, too, from, what the hell is he called?
But you told me he was playing you.
No, he's not playing me. I wasn't a caller. I was a host.
I know, but it doesn't make you any less unhinged.
No, I'm not living with my mother in my basement or anything like that. Everything's fine. No.
She's in the attic. Anyway. So.
No, everything. It's,
well, that's good, man. I'm glad it was worked out. I think Patton's great.
Yeah, and like his new comedy DVD, it's great.
Yeah, very good. That's I recommend the CD. But the digital download, as the kids call, I enjoyed it immensely.
And Big Fan is
as a father with an edge. It's always great to hear a comedian do great edgy parenting material that isn't Bill Cosby going, you know what's funny about the kids?
The brain damaged people, you see. It's true. I think Big Fan looks
can
like a
you do the Noah's Ark thing, as long as you did the voice?
No, I can't. No, that, you know, that's the one album I didn't have. I had the Wonderfulness with the go-karts and the chicken heart and all that stuff. See, you had them too. That's the secret. That's your dirty secret, sir.
What, Bill Cosby?
Yeah, you got. Well, yeah, exactly. You're hitting the 1962 albums as well.
I am a comedy connoisseur, my friend.
What's
I
a,
know everything.
You know, honestly, Bobby Slayton, Patton stuff. I don't know of a ton of new comedy albums that I've
bought. Bobby Slayton.
I'm just saying it. He's a new comic, and I was going to say there are very few new comic CDs of people's material that I get, and Bobby Slayton's one of them. I think Bobby Slayton's funny.
Try Maria Bamford, who is a was on tour with Patton.
Okay.
I think her comedy CDs, any one of them, are the best that have come out in the last few years. Just the best. Just right. Love it. I can listen to it 100 times. It's great.
Okay. Well, all right. I think we've meandered enough, and I wanted to hit.
No.
Have we hit every one of your current issues? Oh, and Ultimate. Hey, man, shame on me. Ultimate Spider-Man
right.
is back.
No. We don't. No, I'm just joking around.
Oh no. Well, very quickly, because these are things that have not been on the Q&A, and I want to hit all the news while we're talking and everything. So
right.
We should probably talk about Ultimate Spider-Man because
that's another
back.
One. I really would like to thank everybody. I panic a little. These relaunches are a little panicky. Because sometimes people relaunch and the public goes, no, I've had enough of those. Thank you. That's quite enough. And then it's happened. It's happened to friends of mine where they relaunch thinking they're going to double their numbers, and they have their numbers because everyone goes, no, that's all right. I'm good. So I appreciate tremendously getting those great numbers and people digging the new.
Well, David's...
I see people on for the ride and La Fuente kicking ass so much, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun because now it's an interesting, you know, young book. It's a cool all ages book more than it was even with Bagley or Stewart. And I love what Bagley and Stewart did, but it has a
flavor. And I know of all the artists I'm working with right now, he's the one that's the most polarizing. I think he's brilliant, and everyone in the business is blown away by him. You know, very rarely someone comes along and everyone just goes, oh, you got it, man. You're the shit. And I know that some people who like their Bagley flavor or their Immonen flavor or around that area are a little thrown by him. And I can almost guarantee, not everybody, because some people just like what they like and that's it. But there's a lot of people that, even though he might be bothering you or rubbing you the wrong way today, I guarantee you, like 6 months from now, he's your favorite artist. Because I went through this with Mike Oming. When we started on Powers, even people publishing Powers were like, this may not be the right style for this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I would like to read this book is my only answer. I like this book. And then 6 months later, people who looked me in the eye and told me not to do the book were going, this is fantastic. They have completely won over. So sometimes it's an acquired taste, is what I'm saying. It takes a little bit to get into it. So though there are gratefully many people who are digging this stuff, I know some people are thrown by it. And I knowing what I know, some of you are just going to be, 6 months from now, he's your absolute favorite artist, and you can't stop talking about him.
Well, and even though he makes...
And you'll look back at the first issue and go, oh, what was I thinking? I love him.
And even though he makes me look like, the ape from Angel and the Ape, I think
you
it's fantastic.
Look fantastic. You look an amazing you. And you know what threw me? How many people didn't get the bat reference? I thought that was the most hack, joke you could do, and people didn't even get the reference.
The about Joe Clark and everything?
Role, as I'm saying.
Yeah, Lean On Me, exactly. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Lean On Me. Principal with the,
Joe Clark.
Don't see John Sutter's of the bat, which, by the way, is now owned by Disney.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I look forward to my action. The greeter at Disney World. Hey, I'm Principal Suntress. Welcome.
I don't want to talk out of school too much, but I did hear Sam Raimi is out looking for a John Suntress lookalike.
Excellent.
So,
well, if he's I always say Pat Loika is my stunt double, so take the call, Pat.
Pat's listening to this right now going, I don't know how I feel about that.
No, he's well aware of it, actually.
I don't think he's thrilled.
No, I thought I was going to die in the flood. That was nice.
No, you made it out of the flood.
So that was cool.
And you hid like a coward in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. Exactly.
Cafeteria. I actually wrote a whole scene of where you were.
So.
And what you've been doing. You're going to get some FaceTime. You show up a lot in 9 and 10.
Well, I guess I have to buy it, though.
There's a lot. What?
I'm teasing. Yeah. I said, well, I guess I have to buy it, though. I only buy the comics I'm in, sir. I'm sorry.
No, see, what I do is I tell you ahead of time so you order a case and rub them all over your body.
No, and Lauren, your associate editor, was very nice at Chicago Comic Con, and she's like, hey, you're my principal. Nice to meet you. And I'm like, oh, I guess
yeah,
I live.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Lauren
she's
is
very
awesome.
Cool.
She's now not on Ultimate Spider-Man anymore. She is now editing my Avengers books.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. And who is your new associate editor at Ultimate?
Oh, of course. No, it's Mark Panisha, and he's rocking it, man.
Oh, okay.
He's awesome.
Well, Mark's editing. I
and Sana Amanat. Is the associate editor.
Thank you. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah, and I didn't make that up. That's actually her name.
Excellent, man. All right. Well, it's and new Mysterio, so everyone's excited about to finally see Ultimate Mysterio.
It's you. did I blow it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think I'm Ultimate Mysterio. I don't think my head could fit in the fishbowl, actually.
I don't think you know one way or another. Huh?
Wow.
Ooh,
I'd be thrilled if I were Ultimate Mysterio.
You notice you never see Mysterio and John Sutcher in the same place at the same time.
Seriously, man, that would be that's an uber geek moment if I truly am Mysterio. That would be great.
You're not.
Okay. Oh, thanks for robbing me of that fine Scooby-Doo moment. Principal Suntress. Zoinks. And you can have Flash say Zoinks. There's your moment, man.
There you go.
Shit, it writes itself.
And then write Star Trek.
You could make me Ultimate Griffin. Have me bitten by something, and I'll be Ultimate Griffin. I'll sprout wings and a lion face.
All righty.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you sit over there, I'll write the book.
All right. Yeah, thanks. Okay.
All right, that'll do it for part one of the Bendis tapes. Part two, we'll resume our questions and answers from Brian Bendis, and it will be longer. So we hope you enjoy that. It is coming up in the days ahead, along with part two of our conversation with Ed Brubaker, and lots more big guests coming up as we close out September and through October right here on Word Balloon. I think you'll be very happy with some of the guests that'll be popping up in the days and weeks ahead. But that'll do it for this edition. Thanks again for listening. John Sutcher's reminding you that you can find Word Balloon all over the internet. Come to our home site, wordballoon.com, for our archive of well over 230 interviews with comic book creators and people from film, television, and animation. You can also reach me via email, john@wordballoon.com, if you have any questions or comments about the show. Follow me on Twitter, John Word Balloon. And, of course, come check us out at newsarama.com as well, where you'll find many of our Word Balloon episodes. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2009.